Monday night.
For a Monday board meeting, we know what Monday night's going to call me. I'll call the December 5th meeting of the Brandon Board of Directors to order. I'm going to have my second command here to make sure that I don't mess up the agenda or any protocols.
Jim can kick you under the table.
As I sometimes do, so. do we have any members that would wish to address the board tonight?
If on an item that's not on the agenda for action, right?
On an item that's not on the agenda for action, please. You may approach the podium if you have something you wish to say.
Hi, my name is Walter Lang, and I live on Thorn Ridge Lane. And I think we need a new covenant here at Brandonville. There's a neighbor of mine lives across the street. He parks his truck, his business truck and trailer in front of his house. And I have a picture here. There's no covenant that covers that. So. And the other two pictures I have here, the covenant does cover these two. And it's, his trailer is full of his leftovers of his business, and it's parked in the driveway right now. So that's. But there's no, and this is, when I come out, most times his truck is on weekends, it's back there, and that's what I see. And it's just not right. And if there's anything you can do about it, I'd appreciate it. This is the address for that. But that's the. No, we haven't spoken to him in years. I tried to handle it by letter and everything, and the county can't do anything. And,
have you, Mr. Lang, have you called the police or the department?
No, well, the police, it's out of their hands, I think.
Okay.
It's not breaking any law.
No. That's and we don't want a bill that says you can't have a properly licensed truck on the street. It's state road. We don't have to. Do we have any?
No.
What about the.
The trailer is covered by a covenant, and I.
Yeah. How long has that trailer been there, Mr. Lang?
Excuse me?
How long has it been there? The trailer?
I don't know. It's been there probably a couple of weeks now, and but it's off and on. He goes and empties it, but it's back, and he's in business.
Mr. Lang, we'll have staff look into it, but as you know, aware already, and they're state streets. But we'll research the issue.
Okay, no, that's all. I just wanted to bring it to your attention. It's just seeing that he has a different truck now, and it's a black truck, but it's still, when I come out, that's what I look at.
Okay.
Mr. Lang, it may be that other neighborhoods have occasion of the same issue, so that's why we'd like to hear that from the
state. Okay, I haven't seen any of that. I drive around. I lived here since 79, and I haven't. Another truck in front of
everybody's
house.
So. All
right.
Thank you, Mr. Lang.
Thank you for what you can do.
Thank you. Helen, did you wish to address the board on a non-agenda item issue? Or I saw you raise your hand early, that's why.
Yes, I do. The question is whether it's non-agenda. I wrote something that I wanted everybody to hear before I read the entire packet and saw the roundabout timeline.
Oh.
And the issues there. But I would like to express some of my thoughts.
We're not making any motions on the roundabout tonight, so you might as well do it now.
Right.
This will not be an item we discuss under motion.
Before I say that, too, I know you allow 15 minutes. This is probably a little longer than three.
3 minutes.
I hope you'll indulge me.
15. 3 minutes. 3 minutes.
I just have one question, real quick, for Jane. I saw on her suggested projects 6 light globes replacement, 3 at Sunday Park and 3 at Harbor Corner, somewhere else. Are these the lamp posts with the globes on the top?
Yes.
Yeah.
And each one is over $1,000 a piece for a globe.
From Dominion Power, yes.
And what we're trying to do is diffuse.
Right.
The light, so it doesn't shine.
Right. So there was 3 at Sunday Park that we were suggesting, and 3 at the landing. But it's so the light shines down instead.
I was just questioning really the cost. I guess I'm out of
That's what we were quoted.
$1,000. All right. Okay. Bear with me, I wrote this, all right? Signs, signs, everywhere, signs, blocking out the scenery, breaking my mind. This, I confess, is all that goes through my mind anymore when I drive through Brandon Mill. Several months ago, I questioned why so many more road signs were popping up all over Brandon Mill. Pretty much the answer I got was that they don't cost us or the BCA anything. I also questioned why they were positioned so high, above the driver's direct line of vision. In my opinion, having so many signs as an eyesore and having to raise your eyes while driving just to be able to read them is distracting and can be hazardous. Now I come to the epitome of too much signage. The new and, oh, not so free Brandon Mill sign, centered in the new roundabout at Old 100 and Brandon Mill Parkway. Going back to the July board meeting, the BCA directors were presented with three drawings prepared by the Timmins Group depicting how such a sign would look in the roundabout. For reasons I list below, what exists there now looks nothing like those representations. Number one, for some reason, all but one board member that I can remember chose the bigger the better attitude when they selected the huge sign. Note, what was selected was larger than anyone shown in the previous mentioned drawings. Number two, no one bothered to take the time to find out what kind and how many traffic signs the county intended to put in around the roundabout. Note, there are more than 21 of those directional signs encircling the roundabout. So many, in fact, that the new Brandon Mill sign, gargantuan as it is, just simply melds into the mess. Instead of taking the time, number three, instead of taking the time to thoroughly research and evaluate the project, I feel the board rushed its decision based on the less than complete information provided to them. Perhaps had they had more time to consider the option, they would have chosen to simply replace the old sign that was no longer allowed, the informational sign, with a newer one in the now vast and empty expanse of grass at the actual entrance of Brandon Mill Parkway, off the roundabout. Instead, they chose the roundabout location simply because I think the county said they would put in electric and irrigation if we wanted it. They just as easily could have used the electric that was already there for the old sign. And I'm sure the county would have located irrigation there as well if we had requested. This new sign's location can be likened to placing the Hill Street Road and Old 100 Road Brandon Mill sign smack in the middle of Hull Street. So now it seems we're stuck with owning an enormous sign that doesn't really direct anyone to where Brandon Mill is. We're stuck having to pay for watering the landscaping around the new sign, which, by the way, Brandon Mill had no say in the actual plantings or design thereof, and which obstructs the sign no less. And finally, we're stuck paying for electricity to light the sign instead of the county perhaps installing streetlights and the county paying for that electricity. I would like the board and or the Brandon Mill manager to respectfully request and see if it's possible that Chesterfield County remove the traffic signs around the roundabout. They're an assault on the eyes and most are redundant because of the directional arrows and crosswalks already marked with street painting. Just how much dumbing down do we need? And perhaps some of the plantings could even be repositioned or simply removed. I've been told repeatedly that Brandon Mill was modeled after Hilton Head, South Carolina. When I was there 6 years ago, I never saw this many signs. Furthermore, the ones that were in place were smaller and lower to the ground. That is, so much less disfiguring to the landscape. The Brandon Mill Board of Directors have repeatedly stated their goal to be the beautification of Brandon Mill and the preservation of property values. Oh, what we could have done with the $50,000 that now sits in the middle of Old 100 Road. Shame on you. Thank you.
Thanks, Alan. Would you like to submit those minutes for those for the minutes? I don't, I can't guarantee we would represent them. In
either
our,
there,
our
I'll see if that'll be, go to the letter to the editor.
I would like to just state for the membership that the deliberations on the roundabout sign are a matter of public record, and they are on our audio recordings for those board meetings, the three board meetings that we discussed them. So to characterize it as a rush to judgment, I think, is not quite accurate. But be that as it may, are there any members that wish to address the board tonight on a non-agenda item? Okay. May I have a motion to approve the meeting minutes for November 7th?
So moved.
Sir.
Okay. Are there any discussions on the minutes? There being no discussion of the minutes, can I Call the question. All those in favor of the minutes as presented in your packet, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed, please say nay. There are no members opposed. Director Livingston is not present. Okay. President's report. I'll keep my comments brief tonight. I will say it was a pleasure to address our volunteers, as it is always every year, I'm sure, for anybody that attends the that is a member of the board or that are members of our various committees that do a lot of work for Brandon Mill. It's always nice to have a little fellowship with those folks and to talk to them. And I do appreciate, once again, as I said at that event, I say it again, Brandon Mill does not maintain its status in the community after nearly 40 years because our residents aren't involved. Our residents are clearly involved, and it is a community that is, I think, maintaining, if not advancing forward. And I'm certain that at some point in our future, we will accomplish our goals as far as what the board has set out in its master plan. And I think we're all looking forward to that as a community. Those things don't happen unless people get up and get involved. And I would just like to say publicly for everybody that is doing that, thank you very much. That being said, I'll turn it over to Jane for the manager's report.
Directors,
thank you. Jane, did kick me. Are there any directors who wish to present something for the good of the order?
Well, the Finance Committee met recently, and I'm going to reserve comments from their last meeting to Jane's report because they're in line with Jane's bringing forward some recommendations for end-of-the-year expenditures.
Okay. Anything else?
I'll just, I went down to the North Beach Pool Pocket Park when they were spreading mulch, and you just mentioned about volunteers. We had something like 9 or 10 people there that morning spreading mulch until we ran out of mulch. So there were a number of, particularly facilities members, but good participation, I thought.
It's a long walk back that little pocket park, but well worth it. It's another just a location for members to get out and enjoy the scenery that is Brandon Mill. And I do appreciate those members of the pool, the swim team, and the facilities committee, and I guess neighbors from that area that went out and did that. So it's very nice. Any other director reports? Okay.
Joyce's point, the facilities committee did meet on the 10th, and the long and the short of it is they're going to be looking for some new members. We didn't have quorum again at that meeting, and Mel sent an email and polled the members if they were going to continue to serve or if they weren't interested. We had a couple resignations. A couple people didn't respond, so we'll be looking for more members to fill that committee. And there seems to be a question as to who the liaison is from the board.
Because I thought we had a meeting. Yeah, but it was me, but then we had a meeting. Or was it, we moved something around. And maybe it was a miscommunication with me or not. But I can't remember. It was like 4 months ago.
And you had attended the
meeting. I'm the only one that remembers it. So.
Yeah. To be honest with you, I thought you were the liaison.
Yeah, I was. I was originally.
Yeah.
And then I thought we had some discussion about somebody, and I think it might have been Jay. I don't know. But we can discuss.
At any rate, we may need a liaison to the committee if there is none at this time. That's one question that came up.
Well, can I just, and I know you're in the middle of the report, Jane, but you and I have talked about this a little bit, and it was brought up at our last meeting. Facilities is one of the big components of the master plan process. And here we are about to go into the next planning phase for the community, and they've had two meetings without quorum. And I don't know how many meetings they've had within the last 12 months. I'm concerned, even though they did submit the pocket park for our last planning process and the dredging of the Commodore Point Marina, or Marina is a bad term, but the cove there, the landing area, we aren't getting much from them as far as other facilities are concerned, like trail enhancements or even facilities that can be enhanced, boardwalk areas, things like that, that is not coming forward from that group. And I suspect it's because they're just not getting quorum, they're not getting enough participation from that committee. Are we in a situation where we perhaps provide some guidance to this group, or maybe we put, you know, some items on their agenda as far as recommendations for? I know that seems kind of contrary to my point of view as far as what this board is about, but, you know, maybe some kind of feed the hopper, as it were, for that committee to kind of work on until they get their legs underneath them. I mean, I put that out to the board to discuss. I am concerned we're going into our next strategic planning phase, and the facilities committee will not, you know, be bringing forward ideas that we can use in our budgeting process for the next year if things continue the way they are.
But regardless, I think, and I agree with you, John, I think we need to ring the bell in the Village Mill and the community and the website and do a little sexy advertising, if you would, to attract people to that committee. Because it's a committee that, as you're saying, can have a tremendous impact on recommendations, on some substantial things that residents visually will see and will use. So it's probably too late for this Village Mill, but it's at least getting something in the January Village Mill, getting something up on the website. Would you like to get involved in making some, you know, really exciting recommendations for the community or something?
Well, I know that there's a lot of enthusiasm, continues to be, about the master plan, and there is kind of a frustration is a bad term here, but you know, folks are looking forward to seeing some of the bigger projects that have been put forward in the master plan, and facilities would be the committee that drives those. And you know, I'm again, as Dick and I, you and I, and all of us kind of envision that, you know, perhaps I could submit an idea that would take 5 to 6 years to come to fruition, and therefore the budget process could be representative of a more long-term plan. But that's not happening. Do we as a board say, hey, you know, here's a project building-wise you should consider, or, you know, maybe enhancing Sunday Park, I don't know, as far as more trails or exercise stations. I'm just not sure what we should do.
It sounds like their biggest need is people. I mean, you know, committee members that, you know, maybe the communication is the thing. Right now, maybe the community doesn't really understand what facilities does.
Right, I think you're
and,
right.
You know, they may not understand how the community is depending upon the facilities committee to come up with some, and maybe even spell out some of those projects from the master plan that are in their, you know, realm of looking at, and perhaps maybe then that would, you know, get some volunteers, because you can't do anything till you get some volunteers in there.
That's a good point, Francis. Facilities is really not a glamorous name, is it?
No, it's true. Well, and it can conjure up all sorts of ideas. You know,
right.
Each person has a different idea about what facilities. I would have never thought bike trails was in facilities.
Right.
You would have thought building, structure, you know, not that. So, you know, perhaps maybe a nice big article about what facilities does. And perhaps maybe even you might even ask, like we did for communications, ask for specific, you know, people in, you know, skill sets with, you know, skill sets in, I don't know, planning, you know, development, construction, you know, whatever, okay, so that we're more specific about what we would like, you know, on that committee.
And the timing might be right, but I mean,
yeah.
We really were transitioning an existing committee that had a very narrow focus to this much broader focus. And I think, in hindsight and fairness, there certainly was going to be some transition that had to occur from folks who perhaps aren't ready to make that bigger scope, you know, their level of interest. So reframing it is probably the right move.
We'll look at the master plan, get some wording out of there, some of the projects that Al has has given them, he's gone back to each committee and given them projects from the master plan that they could consider. But we'll compile that and then give the information to Wendy for the January issue at the Village Mill and see if we can, you know, if we can get some volunteers.
I hope so, because the community, we certainly haven't had any problem standing up new communities and getting participation on those. It's just curious as to why this one is.
And if there seems to be a lack of a board member, I'd be glad to be liaison for a while.
That'd be good.
But we could follow that, track it down and see first. Okay. I don't want to jump in.
I know. I'm sorry. No one was stepping my toes. As a matter of fact, I'm trying to remember how the conversation went, because I'd have been going for the last couple of months, but I figured I'd...
Well, it has been a transition.
I think it was that you, when you changed jobs, you weren't going to have the time to do that.
There was some
but I think
discussion.
It kind of fell through the crack, and nobody stepped up, and, you know, so it kind of was left with you.
Yeah.
And you may not have realized it was left with you, and...
But that would help, yeah. Joyce, if you don't
mind.
I made a note of that.
Jane's got it.
I made a note of that.
That'd be good for continuity.
Okay.
Jane got it.
The ARB is not having a problem getting members. In fact, they would like the board to approve Carol Russick as a new member to their committee. She is a retired attorney, and she worked for the Virginia Attorney General's office for many years. Had lived in Brandywell in the 80s and has moved back, and has time to give back to the community and would like to become a member of the ARB.
Oh, wow. Sounds great. Yeah.
What do you say we all?
Aye.
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 Okay. The other thing we were going to talk about, as Dick had indicated, was I included a list of suggested projects that could be used, could be done with the excess income. And
just for clarification on what Jane is talking about, this would be the end of year when balancing out the budget. There are some extra funds available based on
and as you remember, there was a time beginning of the summer, the way the numbers were running, it looked like it'd be around 114,000. Then it went all the way down to like 14,000 as we went through storm season, but now it's settled in because of some of the savings we've had. Both in terms of expenditures as well as some employee costs, to be around $50,000. The Finance Committee did review this at their meeting a few days ago, supports the list that Jane has brought forward. In fact, the Finance Committee has been talking, reviewing it again this week via email, and supports the list that Jane's brought forward. And it's kind of a mix or match list in terms of getting to the $50,000. I would tell you that the Finance Committee, though I think was very directed in saying it supported installing the lifts at the pools, and it felt that it needed to be done at all three pools rather than just starting with one pool because of an issue of fairness and accessibility. So I think the one item that was kind of universal in discussion was installing those lifts at the pool to make the pools accessible. After that, I think they would just turn to the board for guidance in terms of what you would like to see done.
Can we get, Jane, an idea of are there any recurring costs associated with those?
No, they're portable lifts, and so the lifeguards will have to know how to operate them, but they won't be installed like in the concrete.
You wheel them out and...
You can let them sit there, yes, and then we'll store them inside over the winter.
Are they motorized units, or are they electrical? I mean, how do they operate?
They're not motorized. I think they're hand cranked.
Okay.
I don't have. This is an. This $20,000 is an estimate. Kirk Schuster's working on getting because there's going to be a product that they're going to offer their customers, and so I haven't got the final. I haven't got the final figure from him on a true cost, but that's going to be close because of they're very heavy, so it's going to be a fair amount of freight on each one of those also.
Should we task the aforementioned Facilities Committee to review the recommendation here, Matt?
The
list, because I'm just concerned about, you know, when you get, before you get them installed, you know, what's the functionality, the feasibility of operating them?
Well, I had a question about the lifts, particularly, if I remember right, in the pool report, weren't those listed as have to be done by March 15th of 2012?
No, they don't have to be installed by then because the pool won't open at that time.
Right.
We're going to need them by opening day.
Okay, because I remember seeing that in there. The other thing was I keep thinking they ran like $7,000 each, but do you have costs on these so that you know that that $20,000 is correct?
That $20,000 should cover it.
Should cover all three? Mm-hmm. Okay.
It's going to be law that we have to provide that.
Right.
We have to provide.
Well, I took that from the report that it was going to have to be done. I guess my question came is that from the report being October 20th, which was before our budget, I would have, I guess, thought some of this might have been in our budget since it was being recommended by them that we have this done in the 2012 year.
I think the way we were pretty far along in the budget process before the pools closed out.
Oh, yeah. We had actually were already past the community presentation
right.
before those figures got
right.
solid. This is the one element. I mean, the Finance Committee's already looked at each of these figures. They've looked at it, you know, and discussed them during the meeting. They've been discussing them this week. And I think they're comfortable with all of them in terms of the backup. So I think the Finance Committee would say to you, make the decision. You know, just... We've got to spend the money by the end of the year because we can't roll it over.
Yes, okay. Director.
I'd just like to, and I don't want to steal your thunder if you want to add, but I talked to Diane quite a bit. The stump grinder is something that's new, that's just been added, and in fact, I think Charlie just spent one day trying to get some numbers because we were trying to get it to you in time. But Diane and her committee are working with a... arborist. We have an arborist who's working with us now. And if you've gone down Mill Ridge Parkway and you see the little blue flags and yellow flags, the arborist has gone through and has identified the trees that need cutting, the trees that need severe limbing back, and mm-hmm. all kinds of things. She was the one who initially said, I can't believe you guys don't have a grinder because you can cut all of these trees, but the stumps will be left and you're going to get some growth and, you know, it'll never look like it's cleared out. The look you want with this tree management is not going to be there until you can actually grind the stumps. And when she told me that, if I remember correctly, I think,
Director Livingston, he did three years ago.
You know, stressed that before, so... I think that's why that's
well, we have a considerable amount of open space, you know, and I keep pointing to Sunday's Park, which, you know, if we really wanted to give our community those areas like Sunday's Park or Commerce Point or even North Beach a more polished look, you would need a piece of equipment like that.
Mm-hmm.
It does not appear, given what the rental costs are for one of those, it does not appear that it's exorbitant. You know, at what they were quoted here, $13,500. Yes, Francis.
Is everybody else finished? There, okay, I just want to make a couple of comments. Not that I object to the list, okay. I just want some clarity. On the stone walls, I noticed that on the projects list for 2012, that was listed under capital fee. For $14,000, so there was a little difference there. I wasn't quite sure of.
I think these are two separate items, Francis. I believe this is a request for interior communities like.
Well, I don't know. It says remaining neighborhood entrances, so maybe
not all of them have parkway entrances.
Okay.
I think these are stone walls for those communities that don't have a parkway entrance.
Okay, so we're going to have
a separate item.
$23,000 then. $9,000 this year and $14,000 next year, is that correct?
It'd be an ad.
Okay. I just wanted to make sure. Because it didn't really say, it just said remaining neighborhood entrances. So
our neighborhood. All
yeah, I know what you're talking about. Yeah. Yeah. And secondly, I guess, was the generator at $6,500. And I think in Jane's report, she's recommending that not be done, and that it looked like perhaps maybe updating the phone system. So I wasn't sure how much the phone system was going to be, and would that not take a...
That's a reserve.
The phone system comes out of reserve.
Okay, so we can just take off the generator,
yeah.
though.
Well,
okay.
It's up to the board.
The generator, okay. As I understand it, since we're going to get into nuts and bolts, the generator is a result of our after-action report from the hurricane. Is that not correct?
That's correct.
One of the things we discovered when Al and our two directors, Guthrie and Hanlon, reviewed the activities of the community directly after the hurricane was that we weren't able to communicate effectively via the internet and some other sources. And had we had a generator, we probably could have communicated back out. Those issues, cost us 36 or the 48 hours.
No, I understand. I'm not saying I disagree. I know her comment was clear she didn't recommend it.
I'm plugging it. That's all I'm saying.
Okay. So I just want to make sure where our recommendations were coming from. And I guess the other one, the globe lights at the landing, and for some reason I thought that was the 2011 project for the natural resources. Wasn't that in their budget for that project?
It was part of it.
It was,
but
okay.
They didn't. They, if I remember correctly, they spent up to about $1,500 or $1,600 of their budget. So to purchase three of them, that would have put them beyond what the allocation was for the budget. For that entire landing project, I think, was...
Okay, so did that part of their project fall over into the 2012
it just didn't get done.
Budget no. for them?
No, it did not.
It wasn't funded.
Okay, so it wasn't on that list either, but okay. And I guess my other question is, I just want to make sure I understand all this money, because I guess that's kind of, it's a little bit sitting with me, and that's great to have all this money. I love having $70,000. But in reality, I guess we have 46.
We don't have 50.
We don't have 70,000.
Oh, okay, but we're recommending we spend 70.
No, not. That's your list. You can choose. But I'm recommending you don't spend more than 50,000 because you're not going to have 70 to spend. That's the total amount of the list.
Okay.
And so if we're not going to expand the list from other recommendations, short math, if we throw the generator out, we can either do the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, the first five, or we can switch out shoreline erosion for the stump grinder. And we'll be within the 50,000.
What is the reader board?
Board is actually the sign that was at the corner of Old Hundred and mm-hmm. Brander Mill Parkway that was removed because of the roundabout. That's being stored at Brooks Gray right now. That sign won't be able to be reinstalled at the location where it was.
Right.
VDOT won't allow us to reinstall it at that corner because that's part of their right-of-way. So we were looking at the corner or the area right outside of the middle school on Brander Mill Parkway to the left-hand side, because on the left-hand side it wouldn't block your line of vision. And that's but to reinstall it, it's 2984.
What about the Geneto Parkway and Geneto and Brander Mill Parkway?
At the red light?
Yeah.
I didn't know that you would want to mess up your landscaping and all at that intersection with a sign.
Those folks don't have a reader board up that way.
So that was my only thought there. The intersection is always landscaped on both sides of the road. We also have to look at the right-of-way with VDOT, too, because they're going to control where we can put it.
Back to what I was saying. So 50,000. We have 50,000 to spend, and we spent 46 on a sign that was extra. So we had $96,000 basically from this year's budget. Correct?
Yeah. Well, and part of it, I think we talked about the some of the salary line items. Were over budget because of two employees?
No, I understood. I just wanted to make sure the total was...
It looked as high as 114, but all those are up and down figures. I mean, it's one thing to call it in June, it's another thing to know in December.
I know.
The Village Mill actually was over budget on their advertising by approximately $24,000, which we didn't have any idea
they
do that well.
Right. And if I understand correctly, also, our depreciation is probably somewhere in $140,000, so it would cover this loss or this excess if we had that. So it's not like we have to spend it. We can carry that forward because we did last year.
It's going to be taxed.
We're
going to be taxed on it, which means we'll lose that money as opposed to being able to put it to benefit for the community.
Well, okay, this is from the 2010 annual report, which stated our excess revenues before depreciation was $30,000. So we ended up at $30,000 last time. But we had depreciation of $143,000, so we did lose $113,000. So my question, which I think I brought up last month, was that, you know, I just want to make sure everybody's aware of all this so that, you know, we're making those decisions because we know we put in an increase for assessments. And I guess at the time I questioned it, I just wanted to make sure that, you know, that was needed. If we had this money, could we spend some of that on things that were going to be done in 2012 and not have as high an increase in assessments? But we passed it, and I agreed. And then when I looked at this, I just want to make sure I understand it. So if we did it last year in our annual report and we had money left and our depreciation was more, so we ended up losing money, we didn't pay any taxes on it. And we wouldn't pay any taxes this time unless it got below $50,000 or something. But so I'm not disagreeing with the list and saying we shouldn't spend the money. I just want to make sure that everyone's aware of what it is.
I can't let this go if since this is being broadcast and someone may be at some point listening in. I mean, this is a good situation to be in. There are communities all across the country who would love to be in this situation. This is because we controlled expenses, carefully controlled expenses, and revenues were higher than we anticipated.
Right.
So here we are throwing a rock at it when it should be something we applaud. At the end of the day, we should say that is about as prudent a thing as we could do, and we have the capacity to do some projects we would not have been able to fund.
Right.
That were down further in the list. That's a win-win-win.
I'd also add, Francis, that we did diminish the scope of some of our projects, like the landing project.
Right.
For budgetary reasons,
right,
which is why you see an ad here for the globe lights that
right.
we've already had attention
yeah.
to.
I'm not trying to make
but
this a negative. I'm just trying to make it.
The process doesn't happen in a, you know, it's a linear process.
Yes.
I mean, you're making decisions. The board's making decisions based on projections.
And then
the experience that we had with our projections has always been that those monies they're not always there at the end of the year. And this year, because of tight budgetary controls, they're there. And I'm just reiterating what Dick has said, that we're in a positive situation thanks to management of the budget. We're able to do some things extra that we had actually
right,
cut out.
Right. Was another option to perhaps maybe give a bonus to the employees where we didn't give them any pay increase for, you know, this year. We cut that back because we didn't have assessment increases. And yet we have some money. Could we do what I guess they do at Chesterfield County and give a bonus to the people, the employees?
So I think any option is open. I'm kind of wanting to get to your point that you made about the is one option not to spend any on it. I heard it's taxable, but if our depreciation is higher, does it put us at a position to where we actually would not pay any taxes on it? I don't know if y'all prepared to answer that right now or not, but it'd be, you know, so.
Well,
so what I hear from Francis' thing is that an option too?
Well, I was going to say, because of the IRS issues that we have with having excess income for years and years and years, we have to spend the money before the end of each year. The IRS will not let us carry that much money forward, and it's we've had tax advice from our auditor that you need to spend the money. You should not be carrying that kind of money forward on your balance sheet every year. It continues to accumulate, and the IRS looks at it. Even though we don't have all this cash on our audit, it looks like we've got hundreds of thousands of dollars that we don't have that the IRS is saying that's a no-no.
Yeah. Well, what would happen if we did that option is this money then would flow over into next year's budget and we would have even bigger overflow. So I get the point with spending, but I just wanted to, I think to Francis's point, make sure we all know the options. just for me with these lists, because I don't have anything else that I can think of other than grass if we want to grow it. I could go for some of that. But other than that, I mean, I would like to know a little more about the shoreline erosion piece. I think everything else kind of makes sense to me. I know what it is.
Yeah, Keith, I would agree. I'd like to hear it too. But I wonder then if we could just go down the list and kind of get some nods to see on that item where we are in terms of if we're all on board with that, and then that's, we take it there to the 50,000 and work our way down.
Shoreline erosion, that was part of the master plan project, right, that the Natural Resources Committee brought forward, and it was not funded. And if you remember, the committee, I think Mr. Schreckengoss stood up one evening and commented that they were very disappointed that that project had not been funded, that with the amount of erosion along the shoreline in Brannermill, they figure this is only a portion. It's going to take years to address all
of it. Is
it
riprap?
No.
I can speak to it since I'm the liaison for that committee. Mm-hmm. But they had three different types of erosion that they were going to check on there. And they felt thought that it was at least an option. So they're trying to find a solution for the shoreline. And
so is this 11, like what's the 11,000 for? Is it for?
It's for three different.
Riprap?
Three
or?
Plant. No, it is not.
Do you have anywhere to put it?
I think Al can answer.
Okay. That's fine.
Director Hilsman is correct. There was an approach by the Natural Resources Committee to address the three basic areas of erosion, the minimal, the medium, and the maximum. Uh-huh. And they have selected sites based on the big study that they did and the state consultant that came on board. And they found these various different areas. And depending upon the area will depend upon what the treatment is for that particular area. And these are fairly well defined and kind of minimal, if you will, and an idea towards give us a year to see how the treatment works in these various areas before we make a much greater commitment to the erosion program and what exactly we should be doing and how much more we should be spending. So it's somewhat of a, I don't almost want to call it a test or a pilot, but that's right, kind of what it is.
Okay.
But it's that with.
So they'll try different things. So they may, and I'm not saying they would. So they may at one place, part of this money would go to riprap in some place, or...
I don't think that riprap was part of any of the three. It could have been the minimal, but I don't...
But it's something, right? We're not paying for a study. That's kind of what I'm getting. This is 11 and a half thousand for something to be done, not a consultant.
Core logs and things like that. Now riprap could be part of the minimal, I think. I think riprap is considered to be an appropriate solution to that, but it's certainly not just a bunch of rocks for $11,500.
I'm not a big fan of riprap person. I think it diminishes the
I just use it. I'm sorry. I'm not big on riprap.
But it's not
nothing about it. I was just using it. Something tangible, not an intangible purchase.
Right. It's a potential solution to the problem that they would like to see how it works for a year or so.
To your point, Dick, which I think you were actually getting at, was some consensus around some of these. If you want to go one by one, we can do it. I can tell you right now, I support all of it. Down to the generator that gets us to $50,700. I'm sure we can.
That's fine. Stump grinder's out in your.
Yeah, so I mean, for me, it's either all of them look good. Stump grinder is probably good, but shoreline erosion is something that we need to address as well. So I mean, but I'm.
Mm-hmm. Well, another consideration, I guess, is stump grinder, since we're going to have all the tree management done, so they're going to be taken out and dealt with whatever way, trimmed or whatever. Then the other is going to come along the parkways and take care of all that. So maybe the stump grinder could be considered for next year's budget, because most of it will be taken care of through the tree management and
it will be an ugly thing for us to look at.
We're in the process of getting specific bids now. Director Rowe indicated the arborist has identified the work area, what needs to be done. We're collecting bids right now on how much is contractor A going to charge us to do all of this work, and we've included in there the stump grinding. If we fall within our budgetary item, line item amount, then so be it. We'll move forward If we don't, then we will have to, if we don't buy the stump grinder, then the BCA maintenance will have to go out and rent the stump grinder for a day or two, however long it takes.
But to Frances's point earlier, when she said there's neighborhood walls, entrance or not entrance, but neighborhood stone walls on the 2012 project list that are funded, perhaps instead of spending an additional $9,800, you might want to consider the stump grinder and let the walls be paid for out of the master plan.
The 14, the cap.
Right. So perhaps
I think that's a better option.
Or read this, $14,000 the cap fee for what?
Well, so that's for the
stone walls.
The stone walls. It says here.
That's a lot of money.
It says stone walls, remaining neighborhood entrances. Now, I don't know what that means. That's just what it says.
Well, Frances, as I said earlier, it's the entrances that are not along the parkway. There's some Fox Chase.
Right,
but isn't that what this is?
Does it have one?
Pebble Creek, yeah.
Right.
Isn't that what
and
this is?
And we need a whole individual.
Yes.
It might be already included, Joyce.
I like Dick's suggestion. Maybe we go through each of them and kind of poll the board and see
where we are.
Which ones have all seven, which ones have, you know, four or five or two.
Zero.
Can I make one point, Francis?
Sure.
In response to your question that it might already be on there, that it could be, but we were going to move it forward if there was money available.
Oh, I see.
Because because they don't have one.
Oh, no, I understand. I guess if we're trying to save money, then maybe we might could leave it where it was, which was in the cap fee for next year. And that way that takes
All right, let's get a consensus for the board. It's already quarter till eight, and we're not out of the manager's report section of the agenda yet, so let's make it happen, folks. Joyce. Hmm? Your opinion on the list, as Director Guthrie suggested, which would you prefer?
I just say we just start with number one and walk through and just do a show of hands.
Show of hands.
Where
see where we are.
Straw vote, if you will.
Yeah, straw vote.
Yeah.
Let's do it.
You won, I'll keep our numbers.
Okay. If you keep tally.
Handicap of the pools.
We have to have it.
Mm-hmm. Handicap of the pools.
Six.
So that's all seven.
Mm-hmm.
Stone walls.
Wait, five.
Well, no, that's for next year. So
we're voting.
Okay.
We're voting.
All right.
We're voting.
Two.
I like stone walls too.
Wow.
The light globes.
That's three.
Wow.
Shoreline erosion.
Six.
Reader board.
I guess we have to.
You
got to
do that one. That's sitting there with doing nothing. All right.
And the stump grinder.
You got generators.
Or we took the generator out.
We're not.
Because of Jane's suggestion.
We took the generator out.
Jane's
we can do the vote.
So can we?
How many for the stump grinder?
Four.
Four.
Okay.
Well, what's going to go? The shoreline erosion?
Yeah, so we got to do a little. We got to do a little math.
You got the handicap.
And the shoreline erosion.
The handicap and the erosion. So right there's 20 and 11.
And the stump grinder.
And then the reader
installed.
Oh, installed.
Stone walls didn't go either, did it?
Yeah.
No.
And then the next one, what are you at now?
You are at 34,
okay,
44.
And you put
then
the stump
grinder. And I go back and support the globes.
And do we have enough money?
Stump grinder is 4, 8, 9, 7. So with the stump grinder, 47,984.
Okay. If you do the globes,
part of the globes,
which would be 6,500.
Yeah.
You don't have to do all of them.
The globes would put us at 54,44.
Okay. We could do half of those. Say 3,000.
That's great.
Maybe we can squeeze out another couple thousand this month.
Keith, would you go over your list again then?
So the handicap was 7. Right?
6.
Well,
six. Actually, Jane has the list.
Six. She was handicap, erosion, and reader board installed was 6. That tied at 6. And then we had the stump grinder.
Okay.
And then the light globes, and then the stone walls came in last.
Okay. And we're talking, we have enough money to do half of the.
Half of the globes.
Yeah, well, I would suggest we do the landing since that was on the original
list. Yes, on the original list. Right.
So we're not going to do stone walls.
Because they're already.
No, they're already
in the 2012 budget list.
And we're only going to do half the globes.
Half
Yeah. Everything yes. else we're doing, except yeah. for the generator.
The, not the generator.
Okay.
All right.
Okay, can we, yes. Can we get a motion to approve the
with the adjustments as noted.
Yes.
You said
Guthrie and Keith.
Any discussion other than what we've already had? Being no further discussion, all those in favor indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any all those opposed, nay. Anybody nay?
Okay. That would be it for me.
In your packet is the meeting schedule, the 2012 annual meeting schedule. I will bring to the attention of the community because this there are two vacancies on the board. As I said last meeting, there are two vacancies on the board next April. Keep in mind.
The other thing you might want to mention before we forget is the January meeting.
Yeah, we'll talk about that yet.
Okay.
So again, the election's in April. Last meeting's in May, right? Mm-hmm. I mean the next.
One meeting, they take
yeah,
over.
Right.
First meeting in May, yeah.
Not the last meeting. For some.
Okay. All right. You may pick up your candidate packets after the first year, January 3rd. The deadline for submission of those, when is that? That's February 2nd?
That would be February 3rd. 4th.
February 4th.
Right.
My birthday.
Oh, February 3rd. I'm sorry.
February 3rd, not my birthday. All right.
Birthday Eve.
So anybody interested in that? Let's bring it to the next point. That meeting in January is, I merely suggest for the sake of the community and the members of the board that we move that meeting time up to 6:30.
And on Monday, January 9th, instead of Tuesday immediately following New Year's.
January 9th.
So we're moving it forward 1 week, or moving it back 1 week, and having it earlier?
At
yeah.
6:30.
Okay.
Moving it back a week.
You'd all have to mark your parking calendars. That'd be great.
So it's going to be when? Sorry.
January
9th. 6:30.
Okay.
And that way we can start to announce it to the community.
You won't be here, Joyce?
Joyce won't
I'll be
here.
In a room with him.
Okay.
Oh, what a shame.
Better watch out. It's dangerous down there.
Very good. Okay. Committee reports, they are in your packet. Are there any members of any committees that you wish to present to the board tonight? Sorry, Al.
That's okay. It's part of MPOC committee. Any facilitator.
I would like to.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody was aware that we did finalize the preparedness plan, emergency response plan, and it was should have been in your packet. So
looks great, Al.
Okay, thank
great
you.
Great job.
Mm-hmm. Nicely done.
And I don't think there's anything else in here, unless anybody has any questions for me.
Very good. Committee reports. Thank you. Item number 7 is a revised boat rules. I'll take a minute.
Okay. On the previous meeting.
Comment.
Oh. It was actually presented.
Oh, okay.
We had received a request some time ago from a homeowner to take a look at the boat rules. We've done that. I submitted this original document at the last meeting. There have been very few changes that I indicated at the top. There were some minor language changes, some rearranging of paragraphs. And otherwise, most of the things are just added for clarity purposes. And the biggest change is at the end. And I will say, on paragraph 35, which should be at the bottom of page 3, it should read, in accordance with provisions 32, 33, and 34, directly above, and 31 should be struck. So that was a typo. That was a change that would have to be made.
34 should be struck?
No, 31.
31. On paragraph 35, it should read, the BCA may be stored in accordance with provisions 32, 33, and 34 directly above.
And that provision allows?
It allows for property owner, owner or tenant to cradle one motorized boat.
One non.
And one non. And that's the big change to this, to these boat rules and regulations. Everything else is.
So in other words, we're keeping what is actually going on.
Yes.
Pretty much so. By my frequent strolls along the reservoir. Okay. Does the board see any reason to postpone a motion on this? All right, but before I go to a motion, are there any members of the community that would wish to speak to this revision to the covenant, the rules? Yes, Helen.
I have no problem with all the rules. They go great. My question is, there are a number of them. How are any of them enforced? There are provisions for residents to have guests bring their boats. There's never any patrol on the boat. Why is somebody going to buy a permit for a day when nobody's out there checking boat permits? They're not supposed to do any launch boats, but any public person can come in and access the boat launch. There's nobody there patrolling that either. So truly, having all the rules are fine, but until there's more security there, it's kind of a moot point.
Well, your points are well taken, Helen. I will say that we do actually have, the landing area is patrolled by our security. Brentwell hires and pays two police officers, and I recognize they're not here 40 hours a week, but they do patrol and have enforced the boat rules at both landing areas by the writing of tickets for trespassing and that kind of thing. I have personal mileage.
If doesn't have a permit hanging on the mirror, they'll write it up and.
Well, first they will question it. If they are not a property owner here and they're attempting to launch a boat, they will get ticketed.
Okay.
For trespassing.
You know what? I live real near there, and I'm not even sure. Is there a sign that says it's patrolled?
It is indeed.
Yes, there is. Okay. I see it every day when I walk in there.
And I've seen the police.
It's funny, I notice everything else. I guess I'm trying to become oblivious to signs.
Thank you.
Thanks, Helen. Okay. Any other member comments on this? I would like to make this an item on a motion. Can I get a motion to approve the revision to the boat rules?
So moved.
A second for the motion?
Second.
All right, any more discussion on the proposed boat rules as presented to the board? All right, there being no discussion on the revisions to boat rules, call a question. All those in favor of the amended boat or the boat rules as revised, please indicate so by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? All right, the revisions to the boat rules are approved by the board. Okay, in your packet you have three committee charters for annual process to revise approved committee charters. There are three here: activities, committee. I do not believe there are any changes here, are there, Al?
There are no changes to these three at all that were recommended by the committees.
I personally attended the Crime Prevention Committee's meeting where they approved theirs. There were no changes there as well. Did they have a finance?
No, they reviewed them and they're fine. So is the activities.
Okay. May I have a motion to approve the committee charters as presented to the board?
So moved.
Second?
Second.
Any board discussion on the committee charters as presented to the board? There being no discussion, I'll call a question. All those in favor of the submitted charters, please indicate by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? All right, pool analysis. Director Livingston, who is our champion for this particular project, is traveling tonight. I do believe that all directors that are champions of causes should be able to present their issues to the board in person. That being said, I would suggest that we set this issue for the next meeting agenda.
I agree.
Do we all agree?
Agree.
Okay. Item number 10, roundabout sign. On this issue, I know James can speak to it, and I will, and Director McGinnis. We've had some articles written about the decision-making process and what has happened. Sign and the roundabout. Regarding the issue itself, I will say that the Jane, myself, and Director McGinnis did meet with county leadership. It was quite a respectable meeting of county leadership, including the county administrator, the director of planning, the building licenses, building inspector, license inspectors, met to discuss, along with our the signed contract, met to discuss the options before the community and before the county regarding the issue. At hand is the fact the sign is apparently 92 square feet larger than allowable. How we got there is a matter of public record. It's in the minutes, it's in our audio recordings. Be that as it may, here we are. We are working, I will say this, that we are working very closely with county officials. It was a productive meeting. There was a very good exchange of ideas between the, and I'm not going to describe it as two sides. We recognize that there's an issue for the community and those communities on Old Hundred Road. There's also a cost issue for this community. So we're looking at several options. Having said all of that, I'm going to turn it over to the other Keith and Jane.
So the only thing I would say is that it's currently the opinion of the county, and maybe some, that it's out of compliance or the illegal sign. I'm not willing to go there yet.
What I said was apparently.
Right. apparently. Okay, good. 92
square feet bigger than
good. So, it was a very good meeting, I think. I'm not sure we accomplished much out of the meeting, but I think it was a good cordial meeting. And I think that the tone was set early to try to find some sort of agreeable compromise, given that we probably have two different opinions right now. And we also explained to the county that our board makes the decisions as a group, and that me and John were there, and of course Jane is just representatives to talk and listen, to take back options and report back to the board. And in no way were any of our opinions, the majority of the board. We hadn't vetted that out yet. So after the meeting, I did quite a bit of research, because one thing that I was trying to understand, and maybe this is something good that I can explain to y'all, was how does the county believe that they have the right to manage things that are going on in VDOT's right of way, right? So that was the first question kind of I had was, this is VDOT's right of way. How does the county have jurisdiction? So the county clearly has a ordinance which they think addresses this issue, and also the state also in code, and it's kind of unclear, and that's where we can, if it gets to that option, we can talk about that more. But right now the state says that the county or counties, municipalities have right to regulate airspace within the state right-of-ways, as long as that airspace doesn't meet a few obligations. And so there's a lot of gray area, and I guess that's kind of what I want to explain best, was this is where the county's coming from and why they think they have a right to regulate the sign and the state's right-of-way. And then also, what does state code say? Because we're a Dillon Rule state, Obviously, the county doesn't have any rights to do anything unless the state specifically tells them that they can have control over that. So a lot of gray area, I guess, is what we're saying.
I'll characterize it this way also. When Director McGinnis said that the county has some rules that govern signage in right-of-way for VDOT, they really don't in this case. The issue is this. They do have rules regarding medians. They don't have rules regarding roundabouts, you know. So
more gray space.
And in addition to that, the rules are not really clear on the signage itself as far as what is usable, non-usable space, which characterizes the 92 additional square feet. So the community does have some options as far as the sign itself. And I'll just spell out the options, I mean, before the entire community so everybody understands them. One option.
Maybe get James.
Jane will correct me if I'm wrong. One option is that we can move the sign out of the roundabout center. The next option would be to go about the process of amending or expanding the rules regarding medians so that roundabouts would be included that would require a public hearing. The other option is to amend the signage so that it conforms to the county rules. We would ask for, I guess, a zoning amendment or zoning appeal.
Conditional
use permit for the sign in that case, which would also involve a public hearing. So as somebody attended the meeting, I really don't feel that there's a need to rush to a decision on this right now. I'm leery about the fact that, you know, one of those options requires the additional expenditure of fundage.
Actually, two of them do.
Two of them do. Yes. You're right. You're two of them do.
I'd like to, over the last week or so, I've been thinking about this. And as you approach the roundabout, I've been looking at it. I don't think a lot of people understand that one of the reasons that the sign is there is to meet the state highway, not recommendation, but rule, that you cannot see traffic coming in the other direction. So we actually followed what the state recommended by doing that. The other thing I think, people, now most of the people I've talked to really like it, so, but I know there are some who don't. But, you know, no one's given the shrubbery, the trees, time to grow. Once you get the vegetation growing, that sign isn't going to look anywhere near as large as it looks now. It's just like when you build a house and you don't have any shrubs and any trees. I mean, the house is just stark. But
well, look at the sign on
the
Gold Street
sign.
Road.
Yes.
Yeah,
it looks like a miniature sign.
Covered over.
Yeah.
And in fact,
like
we're working to try to get things out of the way for them. And the same is going to happen with this sign. I think people see it. And, you know, the immediate reaction, it's so different, those who don't like it. Although, like I said, most of the people I talk to love it in the community. But you've got to envision what's going to happen when you have your greenery growing. And it will not look like just a stark sign sitting out there any longer. I have, after reading the communications that went back and forth and so forth, I have a very difficult time understanding why we're being put in this kind of situation.
People complain. Well,
I'm sorry, Jane, go ahead.
No, I was going to say, I can probably explain some of that to you. The county, I think, had two concerns. One of them was the size of the sign. That being said, our sign company built our sign based on the ordinance at the county. Now, everybody at the county, a lot of their staff interpret that ordinance in different ways. And there's been exceptions made to signs throughout Chesterfield County. Size, lettering, everything that's on them. They argue that Brander Mill sign is larger than any other sign in the county. That's not true.
That's not true.
If you look at the Woodlake, sign is larger.
Wait till the 29-foot bowling pin goes in, right?
Yeah.
Right. I mean,
yeah, that was one of their comments, that it the way the sign, and it also says that the Brander Mill should have been set on a the font itself should have been on a different colored background. Well, that's an opinion by Mr. Turner, because that's not in their ordinance. So that's an interesting point, too. The other point is that they now say that the sign is an off-site sign, which they don't allow, meaning that the roundabout is not within the planned community of Brander Mill. So therefore, the county does not allow off-site signs. Well, in all of your paperwork, you'll see emails that conflict with one another. I think Keith and John will say this, I think the county would like to try to work with us somehow to get this sign approved. That being said, I think the easiest way out for the county is for us to move the sign. But that's the most costly thing for us to do. Right. Now, the county could initiate the process themselves to change the ordinance, because it doesn't include roundabouts. So they have an old ordinance, and they have several roundabouts in Chesterfield County. That would cost the BCA no money at all. If we decide we're going to file a conditional use permit, that's going to be $1,500. And so it would cost us money to do that. The sign company has come back in, and if we would move the sign, it's going to cost us $17,000 just to move. It's going to cost us another $6,000 if the county decides the ordinance that they say our sign doesn't meet, which would be to take the Brander Mill off, put it on a gold reflector and all that. That'll cost us $6,000 just to do that. So you're looking at $23,000 to move the sign and bring it to the standard that, according to Mr. Turner, our sign needs to meet, based on the way he read the ordinance that morning. I know for a fact there was a sign that was not approved for a new business up on Hall Street just this past couple of weeks. And interestingly enough, their corporate office got involved in it, and it was approved. So the county makes changes all the time what they're approving and they're not approving. So my recommendation at this point would be not to move the sign. It'd be to talk to them and see what we can do to work it out and come to a solution that everybody's happy with.
Jane, if I take care of it, I'm sorry. Just jump in.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
No, I was just, the only thing I was going to say is that is the other option. And to be honest with you, I would probably go a step further and say, you know, we want to leave it there, and let's enlist our two representatives. Let's enlist Russ Gully. Let's enlist Art Warren. Come to our aid. I'm sure that possibly is what the corporation did. You know, if the majority of this board feels so, let's craft a letter to those guys and say, hey, look, can you help us out?
Right.
You know, the timeline is evident. Look, there's a lot of gray area here, we explained. We went and did the due diligence. We talked to their Department of Transportation. No permit needed. We talked to their compliance department.
I think
no permit needed. You know, at what point in time do we have to, you know, go through everything to find out that a permit is needed? So,
Can I suggest, though, before we rattle the sabers?
This isn't rattling the sabers. No. I don't think out of it.
Well, we're asking. We still have some research to do on this issue, I believe. Now, I also accept the community manager's recommendation that we not move the sign. There's an additional cost there, and I think that's unreasonable to do. My assessment of the circumstance is that the county doesn't have an ordinance specifically governing roundabouts, so they're not really in a solid situation any more than we are as far as what to do with the sign. So I think the better course of action is none of us, we obviously are not experts on signage. We have a contractor that's out there that is a pretty good contractor. It does a lot of work with this kind of stuff and you know, is used to doing those ins and outs at the planning level. And perhaps he and staff can get together and come up with recommendations, knowing that we're not going to move the sign, or don't intend to move the sign, that we still have to chart out the course as far as whether we wait and allow the county to go through an amendment process on the median's roundabout issue and reduce the cost to the community or eliminate the cost to the community or go the zoning amendment process or, I'm sorry, the conditional use permit process, in which case it would be a cost to us. So I think it's difficult for us to make a decision right now about that without having all of the information.
I think that's crafted the direction, your comments. I think our direction should be back to the manager to continue to have conversations. I know she's having beneficial conversations with a senior county official. Those conversations we would like to see continue within the realm of those two pieces. Our first preference would be, obviously, for the county to take the effort to draft the ordinance to deal with the fact that roundabouts aren't currently mentioned. Our second choice would have to go through the conditional use permit. But let's have those discussions. Let's move this forward. We want to find a win-win here. I think Keith's point is well taken, and I think there'll come a day we may have to have that because, quite frankly, I've been disappointed with that we've not gotten the kind of support from our supervisor and planning commissioner that I would hope. Understanding what we're trying to do here in terms of our community and marketing our community, and the fact that we are a major portion of their district. But let's not go fire a cannon across the bow yet. Let's have some continued discussions.
And I'm not saying let's fire a cannon across the bow. I just would like to put them, I don't know as if they've officially been put, I think they've unofficially been put on alert. I would just like for this board to possibly reach out to them in an official way to just say, look, can you be a part of the solution? And it does one of two things. We may want to find out where they stand on this as well.
I would say instead of writing a letter, we invite Mr. Warren to one meeting, and then we invite Mr. Gully at another time, and then we get a couple of board members along with me, that would be willing to meet with them.
And, John, one thing I'd like to throw at, you're kind of in an awkward position, and I think all of us on this board recognize you work for the county. Mm-hmm. And maybe Keith or if somebody would become the point person on this and try to get you out in the a little bit.
I appreciate the concern. I'm not certain. Being a long-term county employee, as I am, I'm not certain, and I know this, but I know Bill personally, and Kirk personally, and we talk to each other every day. I'm not certain I feel the same way about it as you do. If it's the board's concern, however, that there may be a conflict as far as my judgment may be important.
Well, it's not so much the conflict with how you would look at it, I think, because you're astute and see it. My concern is how county folks look at it because you're right. One of them. The other factor with Keith, and I think both of you are doing good work with this, but the other factor with Keith is he's chaired a county board of supervisors. He understands how this works and goes, I know you do too, but how they see you or I may be different than how they see Keith because he's sitting in a chair like they have. So I would hope both of you will continue on this effort. Where it's appropriate, maybe Keith continues to take a point role, and sometimes you're going to have to do it as the president.
Well, I take your point. I see what you're saying, and so I could certainly use a reduction in meetings. So it's not like I'm asking for the meetings, and I do recognize the as you put it, those factors. Perhaps the initial meeting was all that was necessary for that level of meeting.
Right. And I think you guys can work this out. Right. I mean, the three of you, we're entrusting to move this forward, but I think that there's political discussions that you folks will have, and there's this internal discussion that Jane will have with Bill and others that hopefully we'll find the win-win that we're all looking for.
But it is very discouraging when you see the communications that went back and forth and now to see that we are not being supported by our representatives as I think we should be. And that needs to be brought to their attention.
And we may be. It may be that we are being supported. Mm-hmm. I don't know that yet. And I didn't think it was, at first, my first initial thought was, hey, let's go talk to Art and Russ, but then it was, well, maybe we need to come back to the board and talk to the board first. So I don't know as if when we contact them that when the time is right, that they don't say, you know what, we do support it and we think we can find some remedy. You know, I would say if John, and this is if John does want to move off being point on this, I think it's good to have two board members. So, you know, depending on, you know, certainly can stay involved in it. I'm not sure I want to describe it as being the point, but I would like two board members just because.
Well, part of it, isn't it? I mean, the sign is new, and I think the point's well taken, and hopefully they understand that once that growth comes up, that sign is not going to look exactly as big as it looks right now. I know that the church I go to has a lot of members that aren't in Brandermel, and they come, and some of them live in the other communities there. And I had a discussion with them and just explained, you know, how the sign came about and whatever. And they felt much better after listening, you know, to the process. They were misinformed. They thought that they were paying for this thing and it was a county thing and that we didn't, you know. So there was a lot of misinformation, and maybe I'd hate to be so naive enough to think that it might go away, but I think time has a way of healing sometimes. And perhaps maybe as time goes,
it becomes more accepted.
Right.
At the end of the day, this board, through the course of 3 meetings, I think, saw an opportunity. We're trying to do what's, you know, at least in the draft county comprehensive plan, which is revitalize an aging community.
Right.
All intentions were good. No shame on any one of us here or the group of us in this decision whatsoever. Maybe disagreements about what we wanted to do, which is all, you know, good and fine. But, you know, I think everybody's intention was good, and I think we can work with the county on this. I think, you know.
Oh, we have directions for staff and.
Can I add one thing, please? I gave everybody something that was published in The Economist just a couple of weeks ago that, you know, people are still walking up to me about why in the world we put in a roundabout. But they have done all kinds of studies and some things that are really interesting. Their total number of crashes have been reduced by 37%, and those that involve injury reduced by 75%. And they have some other stats on how much time is saved, how much gasoline is saved. So I just thought I gave it to Wendy so that if she does another article, she could put some of this in there. But, you know,
To that point, I would say that I have received nothing. Now, most of my friends, including colleagues at work, thought we were crazy for putting a roundabout in. However, immediately after it went in, colleagues at work said, you know, that thing really works.
Yeah, it does.
So law enforcement professionals are saying it does work. I would also say that we have only had one accident.
Oh, don't say it. Don't say
another one in the morning.
Next day. You guys don't really believe that stuff, do you? We had one accident that...
I'm not going to go through tomorrow.
And that roundabout, since it was installed.
That's pretty good.
Now, we do have at our front door the largest, the greatest traffic intersection for accidents in the county. South 100 and Holstreet Road has the largest amount of traffic accidents. And to your point regarding red lights, you install a red light, you increase accidents. That's just a fact of life. Now, the accidents at that intersection are not enormous as far as personal injury is concerned, but it's still the largest in the county, and that is nothing more than the fact that there are 10 lanes at that intersection, and it's got a heavy flow of traffic through it. It's just the amount of vehicles at the stoplight causes accidents to go up. So, to your point regarding traffic lights cause accidents.
So, just to make sure, so we've given direction to Jane to continue to work with the county, but have we made any decision on whether or not we want to reach out?
I think I take Jane did, and I agree that we should call Mr. Warren in. And Mr. Gully, and separately for a meeting with you, Jane,
one other person,
maybe me, maybe not. Just alarm wrestle
for it. Yeah. Just
all
the
size. Okay. All right.
Okay.
I'll email you tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm going to talk to Bill about the county drafting an ordinance to include roundabouts. Mm-hmm. See how they feel about maybe moving ahead in that direction.
All right, last item on the agenda. The Communications Committee
Task Force.
Thank you.
If I could just, before you go into it, add one comment to it. This came through the Finance Committee originally, and just as clarification, outside of the staff that was recommended and board liaison, board participation, it was 2 to 4 residents. So the options of this are not locked in at 4 or 6. It could be as minimal as 2. And in their discussions, the Finance Committee encouraged that this might be an opportunity to see some new blood, folks that aren't the names sometimes that we see a lot, but it's a chance to get some new folks engaged in community process. So you've got a mix in here. You've got, 6, I think, applicants. And you've got some folks that have not been involved. You've got some folks that have been involved. But you don't have to pick 4. You don't have to pick 6. It could be 2. It could be 3. Whatever.
Should we decide then in advance how many we're going to choose so that then, I don't know how this is going to go forward, but at least if you know how many you're going to choose to begin with, then you know where to cast your vote or whatever it is that's going to
happen. The thinking was that while we wanted to give some, you know, we didn't know whether it was 20 applicants or 30 applicants or 1. So that's why that range is in there. But the discussion was that this is a task force that has a very short timeline. They have very few months to get the work done. The larger the group, the harder that's going to be to achieve. So having a group that is smaller, you know, including staff and board. So personally, my recommendation would be to go with the number of residents being 2 to 3, because that keeps the task force around 6 or 7 folks, which is a doable number to get work product out fairly quickly.
Okay, so we have 3 staff and board members. So if you have an odd number, in case you have to have a vote, then you'd want only 2 out residents, which means you're 2 residents and 3 staff and board.
No, 2 staff and 1 board member.
Right. Well, that's what I said, 3 staff and board, which 2 staff and 1 board. So that's 3. So we want to choose 2. Is that what it is to make it 5?
The board's option.
Or, you know, you want 6 to make it even?
I would. Oh, sorry. Go ahead.
I don't know. I'm just asking questions.
You're better off having an odd number.
Yes. Right.
Many people
have, so that makes
we have
sure
who have not served on anything that's on fresh.
It looked like there were 3 in there that had not served on anything.
Actually, 4. Greg Smith, Joe Cavolo, Meredith Robinson, and Jim Strader.
Well, Joe, I think, is on
he's on community characters, but he is.
Oh, is he?
Yeah. But I don't think that should exclude him, though.
Well, no, I mean, to get new blood.
Right.
And
right.
Not to have the committee quite so long.
Right.
He has a lot of background.
Yeah,
Joe Cavolo too.
Yes,
but they would be 4 people that have not, other than Joe, have not served on.
I would submit to you, though, we have stressed as this board that we get as we tap the resources of the community as much as we can regarding backgrounds in those areas of expertise. So I understand your point regarding getting new blood in, but I agree with that. But I wouldn't overlook somebody. It's because they serve on the committee. Obviously, in the case of Mr. Cavolo, he's got several years of experience in public relations.
Yeah.
You know, and that's the issue at hand, especially given, you know, some of the outcomes that we're suggesting. You know, we're basically talking about a total rehash, perhaps, of our communications side of the community. So, you know, it's not something I would just hand over to just anybody. So, when we look at it that way.
5 or 7? Is that what we're thinking about? 5 or 7 is the.
Right.
So we would like that 2 or 3, like you said.
I don't know. I'm just saying somebody should decide before you get to debating all this.
I'm not so locked in that we have to have an odd number either. I mean, this. I think one of the expectations would be that this group will come to a consensus and give us options. And they're not making the decision anyway. They're simply bringing recommendations. So Consensus works on that, and they'll submit options for us. Ultimately, we'll have to bite the bullet and make the decisions.
I would prefer five, and that's only because they need to be fairly agile, which means they're going to have to meet in a short period of time, fairly regularly.
Right.
And not all of them can meet.
Yeah, I know.
Regularly, so. Because my experience with committees is you've got to have more than
well,
you're looking for to make it work.
To your point, then, Joe Cavolo does travel a lot. And I think
he just does the missions, but I wouldn't think that's...
But,
yeah,
you know,
but he's not gone for weeks at a time.
No,
they go for a few days
right,
and he's back,
and
so they
back.
Can schedule around that.
Right. He would be my first pick.
Yeah, Joe would be my first pick, too.
Well, why don't we just go around and bring up each one and vote
like
them like we did the project thing. And everybody vote, and then you'll know whatever you end up with.
Did everybody read them?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I read them.
Now, I take it this that Jim Schrader is
Jennifer
Schrader's
husband. He's got the reserve and does all their media.
Okay, so we're looking for three. I just want to make sure I understand that. So
you're only looking for
two.
Two. We're only doing two.
Yep.
One other person.
Okay. All right, then I have my votes. All right.
Yes, please.
Can I do that?
Yes, please.
Okay, Gregory Smith. Show of hands, like we did the last time. Three. Okay.
Wait, four.
Four.
Greg can raise his hand. I'm sorry, Dave.
How many? Raise his hand.
Well, I could go with Greg, if any. I mean, it's not.
Well, I could too.
Yes.
I mean,
so you can only vote for two.
You can only vote for two people.
If we're only voting for two people,
let's put it this way: the highest votes,
right.
The two highest votes will be the people.
Yeah. Right.
And you need to only vote twice, though.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you can only vote twice. So they need to decide who they're going to vote for.
Okay. So. Dick, did you or did you not raise your hand, Dick?
I'm raising my hand now.
For Greg Smith.
Yeah.
Okay, so that's four then.
No, not me.
Francis.
Not me.
Joyce.
Keith, what about you?
Okay.
Are you going for Greg?
No.
Okay.
So there's four. Okay, Joe Cavolo.
Dick.
Four. Five. Okay. Meredith Robinson. Jim Strader. Bob Malik. Amy McNeil.
Was that all the candidates?
Yep.
Then I got to go back and vote for Greg.
Greg? Okay. That it. The way it is, Greg.
No, I did not.
Oh. Well, he didn't see what I had. Greg and Joe Cavolo both had five votes apiece.
Okay. That's
fine. Well, no, everyone else got zero, right?
Except for Mamie got two.
Oh, okay.
So if we're keeping it to five,
my vote
it would be Greg Smith and Joe Cavolo. And I will notify those two gentlemen that they are the lucky winners.
They are the winners of the communications lobby.
All right.
Another one coming up.
We ought to ask the others about the facilities. Would you contact
them? That's a good idea.
Tell them we're looking for people to serve on facilities.
Thank you, Mike. Thank you, Joyce.
That's a good idea.
Now, listen, good meeting tonight. On the bottom of your agenda is our usual announcements for the community for the next month. I want to remind everybody that the next month's January meeting will be January 9th at 6:30 p.m.
Right here.
Right here. Joyce is at the room.
Maybe we could do Skype her.
Can I get a motion to adjourn the meeting?
So moved.
Second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Thank you all for coming.
Thank you.